So angels are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Angels are sent to serve us. Hallelujah. That can't be bad, can it? There's a reason why God sends those angels, and it's usually because we're in need in some way or other. So Hebrews talks about angels, and the whole Bible talks about angels. It talks about seraphims and cherubims and cherubs in Isaiah, Exodus, and Ezekiel, for example. Seraphims have six wings. They are fiery angels. They're normally close to God, reside in his presence, and constantly proclaim the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, you hear the seraphims sing. The cherubims are guardians of divine knowledge and mystery. Multiple wings and multiple faces. They symbolize the multifaceted God that we have. They protect sacred spaces, like the Garden of Eden, like the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the cherubims were. They were also at God's throne too. And the cherubs are childlike angels, small wings, baby-faced. And those are the pictures that you will often see in art galleries or wherever you are, actually. And then we have archangels, high-ranking angels, leaders of angels, and they have specific roles. Archangel Gabriel brings incredibly important messages. So Archangel Gabriel is a leader of angels, but brings the most important messages. Archangel Michael is the leader of spiritual warfare. Maybe that's why Michael's been left here. But it's spiritual warfare that Michael brings. And the third archangel is the fallen angel Lucifer himself, who is very powerful, but eventually vanquished. Remember, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. That's a surprise, isn't it? But actually it is, because that's quite unusual. Most of the books of the Bible say that they're written to a particular church, like Philippians, for example. Or they're written by a particular person. But in this particular book, the churches that have been written to are not named. The person writing the book of Hebrews is not named. The author was writing principally to Jewish converts that have become Christians, but were actually starting to convert back to Judaism, starting to do things that the Jews used to do, instead of staying looking forward to Christ and doing the new things. So Hebrews actually is a book of warnings about what you should, but also what you shouldn't do. The purpose in writing is to correct misunderstandings. Many people in the early church had started worshipping angels. Not surprising, really. Angels presented themselves as humans, but they brought wonderful messages, and they brought miracles. So it's not surprising people started worshipping them. If you remember Daniel at the lion's den, the angel appeared and closed the lion's mouth. So the angel's done something amazing. Shouldn't I worship the angel then? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were saved from the fire by angels. The scripture specifically says he was saved by angels. So shouldn't I be worshipping the angels? They do these wonderful, absolute miracles. And his glory, the glory of God, shines out from angels. Luke 2:9, the angels of the Lord appeared to the shepherds and the glory, his glory, shone around. A beautiful, majestic sight for the shepherds to see. Those people in the early church would have read those scriptures, or they would have known most of those Old Testament scriptures for sure. The writer of Hebrews was writing to stop the worship of angels. So today and last week, we've gone on about angels and how wonderful they are and what miracles they do and what messages they bring. And that is wonderful, but they are not God. They are useful to us. They are sent to us. We should receive what God sends. But we should worship God. That's the message from Hebrews. Hebrews encourages them to see Christ as greater than the angels. And if you look at the songs that we've already sung, there were lines in there about above all, Jesus Christ, above all created things. So angels are wonderful, but they are not God. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory and is the exact representation of his being. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's being. In other words, Jesus is in essence God. The creator and sustainer of the universe, and that is the one that we worship, not angels. Though angels are wonderful. And angels are doing what they've been told. They've been told to go and bring a message to someone. Or they've been told to go and save someone. But it's Jesus Christ who is actually has authority over the angels. He is therefore greater than the angels. Colossians 1:16 says, the angels are spiritual beings created by God and are under his authority. So angels are wonderful, but they are under God's authority. They're not acting on their own. If they do something that is a miracle, they're doing it because God has sent that miracle. It's not them doing the miracle. Angels are spiritual beings created by God for certain purposes, including to worship and praise God, to bring messages from God, to guard over his people, to look after you and me. Hallelujah. So we should celebrate angels, but we shouldn't worship angels. Psalm 34:7 says, the angels of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. God knows best, and God sends angels to encamp around us when we need angels encamped around us to look after us and guide us and protect us. And he knows best. No wonder then that people saw angels, saw their majesty, saw their protection, saw their miracles, and they saw them as someone to worship. You can understand the early Christians doing that. They didn't have the book of Hebrews. We know this because we have the book of Hebrews, but they didn't have it. They had the Old Testament. And actually, a lot of that is written in the Old Testament, because the writer of Hebrews reminds the Christians in that time of quotes from the Old Testament, actually, but you'd have to know it quite well. And he's reminding them of what has already been said. But angels are just messengers. They were working under the authority of God. Their miracles were actually God's miracles. The writer of Hebrews was encouraging these new Christians to worship God, to worship Christ, but not to worship angels. Though the writer does accept that the angels are a little higher than the humans. Now, how many people have seen pictures of angels? Almost always you'll see pictures of angels as people with wings, especially cherubs, lovely, beautiful babies with lovely little wings that flutter in and flutter out. They're beautiful, they're wonderful, they make a great picture. How many times have you heard someone describe their children as a little angel? How many times have you heard people speak about their child in heaven who is a heavenly angel? Well, let me tell you, that is understandable and it's cultural, but it's not biblical. Humans are humans, angels are angels, and never the twain shall meet. When we die, we do not become angels. Our spirits go to heaven as human spirits, but we never will become angels, and angels will never become humans. We can act like angels. When we speak to someone, when we give a gift, when we give love, we're acting as an angel maybe, but we're not an angel. And we never will be. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Here's the key point. Angels were created to minister to you and to me. That's why they were created, or one of the reasons. They also point to God always. They worship God always. They come to lead us and guide us and protect us and even sing over us. When you come to Christ, there are angels in heaven singing because you came to Christ. There's a multitude of angels singing over you when you come to Christ. The angels are joyful when you come to Christ. They celebrate and they sing. Hallelujah, another one's come to Christ. Hallelujah, another one's come to Christ. I'll sing it to you, but you'd all leave. But when they sing, it's beautiful. The multiple and angelic beings singing, and they're almost as good as my singing. Acts 10:3 tells us, actually, that angels come sometimes as people, sometimes in dreams, and sometimes as a vision. In Acts 10, we see Cornelius having a vision. It says, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw the angels of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius, your prayers and gifts have come to my notice." What a beautiful bit of scripture. When we pray, it comes to his notice that you're praying. When you give gifts, it comes to his notice about what you have been doing. Those wonderful, beautiful things that you have been doing. He notices our good works. He notices our prayers. He notices our offerings. And if you meet an angel face to face, let me tell you, you will be impressed. How do I know that? Because most people who met with angels were suddenly in fear because they saw the awesomeness of the angel, or maybe the awesomeness of God. In Revelation, we see John fall to the feet of the angels and start worshipping them because he mistook the angel for God. Let me tell you, do not mistake angels for God. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to love the angels. We're supposed to admire the angels. We're supposed to accept the angels that God has sent by his power by his almighty thought, but they are not God. But they may look like God. But if you worship an angel, the likely response is, as it was to John, John fell at the angel's feet and started worshipping the angel. And the angel said, "Get up, John. What do you think you're doing? I'm not God. I worship Jesus Christ. I worship God. You worship Jesus Christ. You worship God. Let's worship together, but don't worship me." Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews makes a point to not worship the angels of God. Hebrews 1:6. And he's actually quoting from Deuteronomy 32:43. So what he's writing is actually coming from the Old Testament. So it's impossible for the people who received that letter to reject it. Why? Because it was already written in the Old Testament. And it says, Hebrews 1:6, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" Hallelujah. Now, don't mistake firstborn. Firstborn of God is not a reference to Jesus' literal birth. Why? Because he was begotten, not born. Firstborn is a reference to the importance of Jesus as Christ's heir. Everything that is God's is Jesus Christ's. The firstborn male in those days would receive the entire inheritance of the Father. Just as Jesus Christ will receive the entire inheritance, has received the inheritance of the Father. Because